Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. I'd like to read these 10 verses as we embrace the subject of redemptive reflections. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat to them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. I'd like for you to notice on this psalm that it begins in praise and ends in praise. And I hope that the very first Lord's Day of this year, we had a service that praised God. We're to praise God in all that we do and all that we are. That's why we're here. And so now I want us to embrace the Holy Spirit to help us as we praise God the last Sunday, the last Lord's Day, the last first day of the week to praise God of this year. I want to talk about reflections. I really appreciate what Brother Wayne said in his comments before his scripture reading. It's a lot like I have felt all week, that we have so much to think about and so much to thank God for. And I don't know if you noticed, but I felt like just standing up here today. Not that I felt that good, but as I stood up, I just had a great feeling about God in my life. And I got to tell you, I got a leg up on you, I guess, because I've been looking at this all week. And so when you let that soak in your life, it changes your perspective. Now, that does not mean I don't have any problems. Oh, if you only knew. But what it does mean is that God is greater than all my problems. And he is also yours. And so we need to reflect on that. Now, what reflection does, it gives us a self-awareness. It is how we check in, so to speak, with God in our life. Now, we need to do a lot more of this, but most of the time we're so busy, we don't do it. And the devil likes to keep us busy because he knows the power of reflection. See, what reflection does, and what I mean by that is you remember what God has done, what God is doing, and you see that in your life. See, we're not here as we embrace the new year, maybe, just maybe, it'd be a lot more effective and better for us if we did not try to make some resolution about what we're going to do or not do this coming year, but rather, let us make a resolution to reflect more on God and his greatness, his mercy, his faithfulness. That's the strength that we have in our lives. And God wants us to do that. I believe that God wants us to know and never ever forget what we owe Him. Yeah, you owe God. I owe God. Now, salvation is free, but don't you ever forget one mind that you don't owe God your life. Because your life is God's. We owe God everything. And we don't have a dime to pay Him with. And He loves us still. He knows everything about us. He loves us. Now, the thing about reflective vision that makes it so hard, I was reading this week and studying this, is this word called myopic vision. It's nearsightedness. And it's fitting that word has a my in front of it, because what happens when we have a myopic view of life, and lots of us do, that's why we worry so much, that's why we're so stressed out, that's why we don't grow spiritually. See, reflection helps you put your roots down in God so that you'll grow. You'll grow closer to God. I want to remind us, too, that everything that happens in our lives, listen to me now, is for one purpose: to bring us closer to God. I mean the good, bad, and the ugly. Do not think because you're a Christian that everything's going to be hunky-dory and you're going to have it all worked out. Do not think that just because God is great and you reflect on Him and honor Him that He's going to make every dream come true. See, God has a timing to it all. He doesn't always pay off on Friday, but He does pay. The rewards are sure. And I think this psalm says that. So what we need to be about when we get this myopic view of things, we see ourselves before we see God. See, our problems get so big. And really, if you want a definition of worry, and just my little country boy definition, I believe it's this. Worry is not thinking that God is big enough to handle what's going on in our life right now. Now, do you believe that He's big enough? And we say, yeah, I know He's big enough, but I don't know if He'll do it. That's the myopic vision. He'll do it. God is faithful. It might not be just how you and I want it, but it'll be better than we can ever imagine. I've said before, God's the only one that can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. What do you mean? What I mean by that, He can take a life that seems to be all messed up and confused, and God can make something straight and beautiful out of it. He does make beauty from ashes. He's great. And we need to praise Him for it. Reflection not only gives us an understanding, a deeper understanding of our faith, of ourselves, but it motivates us to make improvements in our life because we see by our mistakes. And really, the end view of reflection, just like it says in this psalm, is wisdom. See, wisdom. Now, I want to try to make 3 points while we are in this room together this morning about redemptive reflection. And I call it redemptive reflection because it's all about redemption. What does that mean? That means God has redeemed you. It doesn't matter. The first point I want to make, and I'll go back to that redemption verse or thought, is the greatness of God. Notice in verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Do it. But then he says, I will praise the Lord. That's what we need to say. You take it personally as you reflect about God. You know where God's brought you in your life, don't you? I will praise the Lord. I don't care if anybody else does that. I want to praise the Lord, so to speak, with my whole heart. I mean, with everything you got, and you can't do that looking at yourself or your me, myself, and I personality. And so he says, where? In the assembly of the upright, in the church, and in the congregation. And then he says in verse 2, the works of the Lord are great. So I want us to think about great works our God has. And my goodness, now I know you see, do not forget God's works. Do not forget what God, the greatest work is redemption. Not long ago, we studied the doctrines of grace. That's God's works. See, your salvation and my salvation are God's work, not ours. We have nothing to offer God. God does not offer salvation. He does not ask our permission to save us. It's a great work of God. I had a man that doesn't attend this church physically that sent me a text a while back. And that couple, you would know them. They've been going through a lot. I mean, health issues. And he said this. He said, Brother Randy, I just want to thank you. And really what he said is, thank God. God is God. He said, for preaching the doctrines of grace, because they have brought so much comfort to me in what we're going through. Why? I mean, how would you think about anybody wanting doctrine to help them? Because it's a way we reflect on what God has done. See? That God is sovereign. That nothing is greater than God. It's great. His greatness. Brother Wayne read again that verse from Lamentations 3. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, we need to reflect on that more. Do you know 2 Timothy says, you know, that God is faithful. And he says when we are not faithful, he's still faithful. He cannot deny himself. I think that's 2 Timothy 2:13. He can't deny himself even when we're unfaithful. God is going to be faithful. I mean, that is great faithfulness. It is. And what a blessing that is when we see this. And God wants us to remember his great works. Last Sunday night, in this very sanctuary, we had an opportunity to remember one of his great works. Many of you were here and sharing the Lord's Supper. Why did God do that? You know what Jesus said? This do in remembrance of me. I suppose that if there's any sin worse than forgiveness, it's ingratitude. Well, we got to reflect. When we reflect, we're going to be so grateful, we're going to stop complaining and having pity parties, and we're going to get out and we're going to testify of how great God is. Jesus told a man, you remember, that he healed, and the man says, Lord, I just want to go with you. He said, no, I tell you what you do. Jesus said, you go home and tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for thee. Now, are we doing that? As parents, are you telling your children and grandchildren what great things the Lord has done for thee? No, you don't have to preach a sermon. See, what I'm talking about is a reflective mood of giving us the aspect of God in spite of the upside-downness of our culture and world, that we're going to stay because God is God. And never forget that God does what he does because God is who he is. He's faithful. He's not ever going to give up on you. Don't you give up on him. I'll tell you what reflection does too. It's encouraging. I mean, you really get into God's word. He brings his word. He writes it down. I mean, I mentioned the Lord's Supper, baptism. I mean, these ordinances, why did Jesus give them to the church? Why? So we can remember. Why do we have a Sunday? Why did we have the people have the Old Testament Sabbath? To remember God and make it holy. That the whole deal of our life is that we pay more attention to God. I pray that we can pay more attention to God this year, new year, than we've ever paid him before. And the only way we're going to do that is see our great need of him. Do we really realize how helpless we are? I wonder. Sometimes I think we can do it on our own. Secondly, I want us to look at this redemptive reflection. By the way, Passover in the Old Testament brought into the Lord's Supper. Who was our Passover? Jesus. What was that? God says, you keep this as an ordinance. You do this. Don't you ever forget that by the blood that's on those doorposts that you were passed over. And my friends, let us never forget that the blood of Jesus shed for us is the only reason that our sins are forgiven. Not because we confess our sins, not because we're baptized, but because God did a great work sending his only begotten Son to take on human flesh so he could get up on a cross and suffer and die and bleed for us. He rose again through it all. Oh, the greatness of God. But secondly, I want us to see another reason for the redemptive reflection. Not only that God is great, and his wonderful works are great because it's from God. Now, see, our works are not all that great. You might think you're making a big splash or want to in this life, but I'm guaranteeing you something. 3 days after you die and I die, people won't ever know much about what you did. You hear me? It's not like that with God. It's just like the football player that's on the field scoring touchdowns and completing passes, and he gets injured. He's still in the dressing room. And the crowd's cheering for somebody else that replaced him. You want to know a good test to tell if you're going to be missed very long in this life? I'm not trying to be stoic. I just want to compare our works to God's. You just take your bucket of water and fill it up with water and stick your fist down to the bottom of it and pull it out quickly. If it leaves a hole, then the world can't do without you. The world can do without you. My family can do without me, and so can yours, and so can this church. But we can't do without God. I want you to understand that his work is great, and that we are a work in progress. So secondly, I want us to see the graciousness of God's redemption. The graciousness or the grace of God. Namely, his goodness. Oh, how good God has been to us. Notice what he says in verse 4. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. Now, you know how God makes his wonderful works to be remembered? He gives us the Holy Spirit. Do you know one of the great works of the Holy Spirit? Guide and teach. But to remind us. The Apostle Peter said, I stir up your minds in the way of remembrance. So what I'm talking about is not something some preacher can say and it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit, that's why we should pray, oh God, give me your spirit so that I will remember your greatness, your graciousness, so to speak. In other words, how God's how good he's been to us. Do you realize how many meals, you ever think about this? I know this sounds silly. How many meals we've eaten since we've been born? You ever thought about where they come from? You think they come from the grocery store, or your mama cooked something on the stove, or you ordered some plate? Huh. Comes from God. God says that he feeds his creatures. And we're creatures, and God provides this. And he says in Isaiah, he says that you have bread, and your water is sure. And it doesn't matter how many Hyundai wells they put down, really. That's not going to deplete God's water. It might cause you to put a deeper well down. But men like to play politics with God. See, this earth is God's. And not only did he create it, he sustains it. And if you think God is going to allow man to deplete his aquifer of grace, you got another thing coming. What we need to think about is God. Not how much money we got in the bank or how this is going to affect our prosperity. We need to say, thank you, God, for the goodness. I tell you, Kelsey sent me a devotional this week. I told her and somebody else, it was talking about how the creatures praise God and how that we ought to be ashamed that we don't appraise him like that. And that's so true. God's goodness. In the book of 1 Samuel, verse 7, verse 12, it was put up an Ebenezer. Samuel had it put up and God had delivered. He says, hitherto has the Lord helped us. And he put up a monument there. It says, up to now, God's helped us. Can you say that this morning? Yes, you can. Or you wouldn't be here. So if God's helped us up to now, a lot of confidence we he's going to help us later on. I don't know about you, but yes, I probably do. The person I go to when I need help is the one that helped me before. See, God's faithfulness is great. He is not going to say, well, you know what? I just ran, he just keeps on this sin, just keep coming. I'm going to tell you what. He says in 1 John 1:9, he says, you confess your sin, and I'm going to be faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know, you're a Bible student. You look at the Old Testament, what God did to Israel. Did he write them off because they sinned? No, what he did say in Deuteronomy 8, he says, when you get into the promised land that I've given you and you start eating out of those vineyards that I planted and you start living in those houses that I built and you forget me, then I'm going to cause you to go in bondage and ultimately in blindness, and that's where they are today. But there's a day coming when all the elect Jews will see Jesus as who he is. Don't ever doubt that, because of God's faithfulness, because of his grace and his mercy. Now listen to me. I know you noticed this past week, we had some pretty heavy frost down our way. I mean, I look out at daylight and you see it white. Sometimes life is like that. Sometimes we got a frost, adversity, trials. Frost is painful. In your hands, they call it what? Frostbite? Feet? It kills the grass. But one thing I noticed, just as soon as the sun came out, the frost left. And you can be well sure, my friends, that you might be going through a hard time. Or you might have been there. Or you might be going there. But I guarantee you, just as soon as you turn the light on, as the Son of God, the light of the world, your frost is going to melt. Now, when I talk about self-reflection, it can be dangerous. Listen to me. If you try to look at yourself without God and without Jesus, it's about like being in a dark room. See? And it doesn't matter how much we squint our eyes in a dark room, you're not going to see anything. You're not. But when that light comes on, see one thing about reflection is it's a good platform to make sure our feelings don't get ahead of the facts. See, the thing about reflections, it helps us to focus on what we know. Now, they are people who don't know what they don't know. But you know. You know that God is faithful. Why? Because God says it. You know that God is love. Don't look at yourself without realizing first that you know that God loves you. Well, you say, well, you don't know what I did. You don't know what I did either. I'm going to tell you what, but God loves me. He proves that on the cross of Calvary. He's given me an unction to know that I'm a sinner and I need His saving grace. And I got something else to tell you. I've had cases in my life where I have flat failed God and other people too, but I have went to my knees and God has forgiven me. You take that to the bank if you want to. You can cash it because God signed the check. You hear me? That's reflecting on God. And if God's done that for me, He's going to do it for you. If you want it. Do you feel like you need God? If you don't feel like you need Him, then you don't know what you don't know. But if God is convicting you of sin in your life, if you feel like these bruises and breaks of life have brought your heart to understand that you need God, then He's drawing you closer to Him. He's going to do it. He loves you. He's not going to love us any more or less because of what we do or don't do. He's not. You know, I'm going to try to go there. There's a verse that got on to me the other day from the book of Ezra. I wanted to share with you. I thought about the United States of America in view of this election. President Trump being reelected. And it's just really, and I know that's not going to solve our problems spiritually, but listen, I have said this, and I'm sure a lot more prominent people than me, that the only way we're going to make America great again is to make God great again. The only way your life is going to be great is because God's great. And I believe that God has given us a span of glimpse of hope here in this election outcome. But let's do not presume on it. In the book of Ezra in chapter 9, I just want to read a couple of verses. Here's Ezra praying. It says in verse 6 of chapter 9 of Ezra, and said, he's on his knees, he's on his face, he's confessing his sin. He says, oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass has grown up into the heavens. Now this is the attitude that breeds redemption reflection. That you understand that I'm a sinner. He didn't say you are, he said I am, we are. He says in verse 7, since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. My brothers and sisters, it matters how you live. You can say by grace all you want, and that's the only way you are saved. But how you respond to God, what does this reflecting God do? God says You pay attention to me. You think about me. We praise God with our minds. To have the mind of Christ is to praise God. But look at verse 8. I'm still in Ezra. And now, for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God. I think that's the United States of America 2025. To leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. I know that's a whole different subject, but it relates to what Ezra did when he got in a reflection of God's redemption, delivering from bondage and the state they let themselves get in. Now lastly, before we go, not only when you think about reflecting, you do it because God is great, his greatness, his great works. And we do it graciously because God says you remember him, and God gives us the equipment to remember him with. He gives us a mind of Christ. He's given us his Holy Spirit. But then lastly, I wanted to say this, that we're to reflect redemptively in our lives because God guarantees his promises. Philippians 1:6 says, he that begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7 of Psalm 111. The works of his hands are verity and judgment, and of his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. See, God guarantees his works by his name. I want you to notice something just in passing this verse. If you ever want me to, and you may, so I better be careful how I say this. If you ever want me to leave this church, you have every right to. I've probably been here way too long. But you can do it three ways. You can say something bad about my wife, or you can say something about my children. You can hurt my children. And the third thing you can do is call me Reverend. You hear me? Don't ever call me Reverend. You know why? This is the only place in the King James Bible that word Reverend is used. And what does it say? Holy and Reverend is his name. My name's not holy and reverent. It's not. I'm a sinner just like you, saved by grace. But it's God's name that he bases his great works. And he says, you remember it because I've signed the check. It's from God. And the next time you and I are going through some issues in life, and you got a squirming going on, you don't wonder, you wonder why in the world this has happened to me. Remember, focus on what you know. When we get in that state, a lot of times we say, well, this is some sin I've committed. I know it is. No, Jesus paid for your sins. All of them. Now, you might have some consequences to deal with, but like David when his son, but you got your sins are forgiven. But it might be that the timing, excuse me, of God is so in your life that God's doing a greater work in you, see? David, the psalmist, says in Psalms 27, I think it's verse 13, he says, I would have fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And the next verse, he says, he waited on God. He didn't wait, he didn't see to believe, he believed to see. You start looking for Jesus Christ and his work and God's work in your life and around people in your life, you're going to see him. Most of the time we don't look for him. We miss lots of blessings too, we do. You know how you get to God? You know, this book is a book of redemptive reflection. You want to remember something, it helps me to write it down. That's how I study a lot, just write them down. That's what God did. Do you know your names are written in heaven? The Lamb's Book of Life, God wrote it down with indelible ink. He's not going to erase it out and say, well, I thought Randy was going to do this and that. That's a little different. No. I'm going to tell you what God's doing. He's shaping and molding your life. He's using you, and he's going to help other people with your life. He is. Most of you probably don't realize how much God is using you and blessing you. But he gets the glory for it. What a joy it is. What a wonder it is to be able to just reflect. And I pray that God would help us do that this year. I really think we need to start off that way. Because that's where we get the rest. See, Sunday's the first day of the week, not the seventh. You start off with redemption, reflection is where you just step back in your life and you look at that canvas that God has given you, all the turning points, all his providence, all he's given you and taken from you, and you, Lord, you see the God in all of it. He has ordered your steps in spite of our disobedience. He has. But he's never going to let us go. See, wisdom, I didn't read that last verse. That's the end of reflection, wisdom. Here's the one I want to close with. You remember the prodigal son? He's going to have it his way. He tells his father in Luke 15, he says, just give me my inheritance, I'm going to leave. His father let him go. But after a while, he came to his senses. How did he come to his senses? I believe that young man was reflecting. I know he was because he said, I know that in my father's house, there's better than this. I know my father loves me. I'm going to go back to him. And he rose up. He went back to his father. He had a redemptive reflection. That's what he had. That's what we need. We need to get on our knees and we need to confess our sins and we need to believe the gospel like never before. And you know, the 21st of Luke 15, that father had his arms wide open. What a blessing. Do you know that son that was wayward was the father's son, even when he was wayward? Do you think that father waited for him to change before he loved him? No. He loved him the whole time. Think about it. Sleep on it. Reflect on God, his greatness, his grace, and his guarantees. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank you that it looks like, Lord, you're going to send us a new year. You don't have to. We realize we're not there yet. And you may end this world any old time. Lord, it's yours. But one thing about it, Lord, whatever you do is always right. Lord, as we embrace this year, if you give it to us, help us make you great every day of our lives. Lord, help us to reflect more on who you are and what you've done for us, why you saved us and when. Lord, use us and bless us. You don't have to change our circumstances necessarily. Some of us would like some things a little different probably, but that's beside the point really. If you see fit, Lord, to leave us hanging and leave us in a pain or leave us some sort of burden that you know you're going to give us grace to carry and you're going to use it for a great work, go ahead, Lord. We're yours. We owe you everything. You're not obligated for us, not for one thing, not for one more breath of air, not for one drop of water. We thank you, God, that we can enter into a new year with such confidence. And that's not something, Lord, we say with pride. But one thing about reflection, when God is involved, we see how helpless we really are. And we have nothing, Lord, without you. We can do nothing. And without your Holy Spirit, nobody will or can. Lord, we're just dependent on you. Please forgive us of our sorriness and thinking that we can help ourselves, that we're so smart that we don't need God so much. Lord, thank you for forgiving us. Bless us, O Lord, to draw close to you as you draw us closer to you by your grace, by your adversities, by your faithful promises. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.